Hello, this is Billy Reagan. The recording that follows occurred one day when I was really struggling and having a battle. And I was prompted just to record this struggle out loud. And I pray that it will touch your hearts, it will bring forth understanding and victory as you listen. Keep in mind, it has not been edited, hasn't been changed. There might be a phrase or two in there that's unclear, out of line particularly, but bottom line, the context of it is real, it's intimate, but I think it's also truthful, that we might be set free by the truth. To know the truth will make you free. Bless whoever hears this, Father, with the discerning spirit of the living God, the double-edged sword, the Word of God. And I bless you, Lord, thanking you that you're my victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I struggle at this hour with the flesh. Oh, to be controlled by the Spirit and not the flesh. The flesh is the enemy. This mortal body and its five senses. I sit down and I want to pray. I'm struggling because I just sinned in anger, so I want to sit down and pray. So I sit down. When I sit down, I say, Lord, and I cry out with my heart. I wanted to be in the Spirit. But then I get this chill. It's 95 degrees outside. I'm in an air-conditioned house. And I get this little chill. And my flesh cries out, I'm not comfortable. Now, it doesn't do it with that noise, but it lets it clear. Hey, flesh cries out to the soul, the mind, and says, I'm not comfortable. And so my mind thinks, well, why am I not comfortable? Over here, in my spirit, I'm wanting to pray. I'm wanting victory over this thing that's just now intruded. But yet my mind which is in my soul, hears the flesh. I'm not comfortable. And then my eyes open, I say, ah, the vent is directed down on me. And the air conditioner's come on, now I'm cold. I'm not comfortable. So my mind continues on with this a little bit. So, well, I tell you what. If I can take those vents and make them all directed, and I'll direct it over the fan, turn the fan down so it circulates it evenly, so I'll be comfortable. And what just happened? Jesus said, pray, so that you do not fall to temptation. My flesh, this mortal body cries out, and it's louder than the spirit within me that wants to pray. So what happened? The feeling, the touch of the discomfort, the hedonism, I'm not comfortable. Causes me to start to think. Now I've been intruded. The devil just won. The flesh was just weak. Whoever or however it comes, it came. No different than when the men of God, chosen by God, anointed by God, and put before God as his servants, the apostles, he said, here, sit here and pray. And he goes and he suffers in his soul, saying no to his flesh that he wanted comfort and salvation and life. And he comes back and finds them asleep. And this is what he said. He said, the body. He didn't say the soul, the psuche, the body. He said, the body is weak. The spirit's willing, but the body is weak. Therefore, pray that you don't fall to temptation. Mercy sakes. Father, if only we can come to that position, to that understanding, to put the flesh to death. I no longer live, but now I live. What does it mean? It's not... This thought. Consider this thought. It speaks in the Scripture about the fear of death. Now, I'm a triune man.
I'm made out of spirit, soul, and body. I'm made up as one, and that makes the completion of this living soul in this shell of a body to exist upon this physical world that God created that He might be pleased with and we would serve. But when I die, what dies? Only the body. For the soul and the spirit is united with God. That's my belief. I believe it's both the soul and the spirit. If you take away the soul, you lose the character, the personality, the person that God created. To be absent of the body, to be absent of the body is to be in the presence of the Lord for those who are in Christ Jesus. But yet, every fear has to do with judgment, but it says also fear of death. And what does death deal with? I'm not talking about the eternal separation from God. That death I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the promise of the resurrected body that will be in the physical form for eternity. And death has to do away with that old body that's perishing. So when I speak of death, I'm not talking about separation from God. I'm talking about the death of the body. So do not let yourself get wandered and distracted with that term. For the Scripture talks more about the death of the body than it does any other type of death. So that's what we'll address and what I'm struggling with right now in this moment as I see and understand what it is that I'm fighting with. I'm outside and I'm saying, okay, I got some chores to do. So I go outside and I'm looking in the pool. And I want to take this thing that's corroded with mildew and spray it with some bleach. So I get the bleach bottle and I start spraying. But that bleach bottle is not doing what I want it to do in the physical, the natural. And I start getting perturbed about it. And I get upset. Before I know it, it's broke. It won't work. It won't spray. I go into a furious... I get angry. I get so angry, I take the lid off of it, I throw it against the wall and crush it. Boy, was I in the natural. Did I look at my senses, what I was seeing, what I was expecting in the body, in this natural world, to do what I wanted to do? I'm fully, not by power, not by might, but by Thy Spirit. I was in the might and power of myself. And God says very clearly in His Word, He says, cursed is the one who leans on the arm of the flesh. And here I was, I am an eternal being, but yet my mindset of eternity for the sake of my spirit and soul and the future of the resurrected body to live forever, I lost it. I lost it. Then I came in the morning to pray. And I lose it again. And I cry out, Lord, what is it? And I start seeing what I'm giving to you now. This incredible battle that we have with this one part of the triune that is an enemy to God. If we read in Romans 8, it makes it clear. He says that is controlled by spirit is we're blessed. We're in the favor. It says, but the one is controlled by the flesh. Is condemned and is an enmity. Is an enemy of God Himself. So when I work in the natural, when I respond to the five senses that exist in this body, this shell that has been so graciously given and became a living soul in this body for the benefit of pleasing my Father, I become unpleasing because now I'm letting the natural rule. What I feel in my five senses that it grabs a hold of the mind, which is in the soul that's supposed to be fully submitted to God. The suitcase, and I'm distracted. I see it. The fear of death. It's not the fear of losing your soul or your spirit. It might be in some senses, but in another, basically, it's fear of losing the physical body tent to its grave. But Jesus, through Paul, said, we must die to self that we might live. Oh, God, if I could get that victory. But chapter 7 of Romans, Paul makes it so clear, but yet it's hard to see in that what he's struggling with. But as I look at it now and I give in comparison, if I can relate the five senses in every respect within that context of that passage, it starts coming to life because we start seeing with our eyes, the natural eye, to communicate into the soul what we're dealing with. But oh, praise be to God. God says the word is like a double-edged sword, dividing under the soul and the spirit. Now we get a little in the soul, but we want the mind of Christ within the spirit to discern for us the correctness and the fallacy of this information so that we can, by our will, make the right choice to respond to the things that the flesh has brought forth or the mind has brought forth because the flesh has thought or the flesh has responded, be it with the eyes of what it sees, the touch of what it feels, or smells, or hears, and therefore be controlled by, which will it be? The soul, independent of the spirit? Or by the mind of Christ, which is in the spirit, that we might have victory? Oh, Paul said, this is so bad. Never doing what I want to do or need to do, but always doing what I don't want to do. But notice how he concludes. He says, thanks be to Christ. This is what he meant. I believe to be controlled by the Spirit is to eliminate in the pattern of our day-to-day existence this incredible hedonistic, hidden, anyway, the pleasure, I can't say the word exactly, hedonistic lifestyle that comes strictly through the five senses of pleasing this body. And then the mind works it over. I no longer live, but now I live by faith of the Son of God, which is the mind of Christ, given to those who have believed and received this new creation. Oh, woe to those people that are condemned already, as John 3:18 says, because they haven't been renewed to have the power and victory. But we have no excuse. The saints, the Christians, those who have believed and received and have been reborn and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and particularly those who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost to have the power to do the fight with, we have no excuse. Because He's given us everything by His divine power to be godly through the knowledge of Jesus, which is His Word, which is dividing us under the spirit and the soul so that we can know and reveals the thought and intent of the heart so that we will know what's in the heart and it must be taking place. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for my weakness. Oh, my God, my God, my God. You understand our weakness in the flesh. Spirit willing. Now, Father, enable me. Enable us all to be able to say no to this flesh, to this body, that has not been resurrected to the newness of the glory. Do this battle to be pleasing in your sight. This is why he says, with fear and trembling. Why tremble? Because it is so difficult to fight this beast of the flesh. He says, with fear and trembling. Now keep in mind, that's the fear of God with trembling. Work out your own salvation. See, I've got to work it out. I, Billy Reagan, not alone, because the rest of the Scripture will clarify that in Philippians 2:13. But I alone have to will to choose to receive the power of the Spirit to do the business that I need. The Spirit's willing, Jesus said, but the body is weak. And so the weakness of the body, the mind goes into the soul and it makes it. What if Jesus had been fallen weak to this suke battle that he did? Will he follow the will of the Father or will he follow the will of the body? We would no longer, and we would not have a position in Christ that we do if he had done that. But it was a battle to the point of sweat drops of blood. He battled with the soul to do what the will of the Father was within the Spirit that was perfect. God has given us the same. But to enter into it. As I say in Philippians 2, for it is God who works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. Now, can I believe that? Can I receive it and flow in it and shut down and beat into obedience this body, as Paul says, to be controlled by the Spirit of God, given me freely by grace, because I've believed in Jesus? Or will I continue to yield myself to this perishing, mortal body that cries out constantly? I'm not comfortable. Give me this, give me that. Hearing says, which do I do? Now I've got to make a decision. So I go over there and take the receiver off. I choose to stay where I'm at, to hear the word of the living God rise up in me to give me answers to my questions in hope to have another day of victory, another step into the reality of eternity. You see, eternity has been freely opened and given to us now that we have a new spirit to ask and to venture by the Word of God, which is truth. So that the passage that's found in John 4:24 that says, we must worship in spirit and in truth. What's the problem with the body today? We worship in the natural. We involve the five senses to an extent that causes us not to be in the presence of God by the power of the Spirit, but by the power of the arm and the flesh. How we sing, what we say, what we do, how we stand, how we raise our hands. All of those things in the praise issue. But he says in worship. And so we observe with our eyes, which, by the way, remember, comes out of the body. But God says He wants us to be controlled by the Spirit. He wants us to see with the eyes of the Spirit that we might be able to discern with the truth that comes from Him. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is the truth. He said His robes were dipped in blood and His name is the Word of God. If I do not have the Word of God here in my heart to be able to help me to discern, He says again, and I think in 1 John 4:4, He says, test all spirits. Which spirit is it? Or what is it that is stimulating me at any given time to respond to my God? Is it my natural? Is it the eyes of the flesh, limited by the foolishness of the mind and man? Into the spirit? Or is it the spirit eye that sees with eternity beyond that existence for this momentary situation that we're in, be it a good situation or be it bad, hassling, depressing state that the body's in, to see beyond that? He says we're to live by faith and not by sight. Grasp a hold of that, dear children of God. I'm only getting just a very small thread of it. To enter into the victory, to walk into the mindset of eternity, which is everlasting, forever eternity existence with God, and not with this mortal, perishing and mortal body for this light and momentary time, to be sure that I take care of it. I'm not comfortable. Not today. Because my flesh is intrusive. Oh, Jesus. 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 Holy Spirit. Might I enter into that depth of understanding and glorious, precious promises that you declared that have been made available through your divine power to walk godly to the knowledge of Jesus. Might I grasp hold of it in the spirit of love that comes from you to begin first to put to death this flesh in me that is intrusive into the reality of eternity that's with you. To
through Christ Jesus that has already been done on the cross. I don't have to wait, mighty God, as I see it, for your resurrection in this body to be resurrected. But I do, Almighty God, to be able to walk and worship in spirit, I have to put to death the natural that I see in this body, that I might see with the eyes of the Lord God Almighty in me, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing the eternity. Therefore, causing, as Paul says, these situations are but light and momentary, because he had a mindset of eternity. Therefore, Father, forgive me today when I let this spray head out of this spray bottle consume me to a point of anger, not recognizing, hey, this is but a moment. Forget it. This discomfort, because it got chilled in an incredible palace you've given me, it's only momentary. The words that someone might say to me, it's only momentary. What I choose to do with it, will I control it by the Spirit, or will I let the mortal man, this flesh, the arm of the flesh, take it and cause me to sin? Have mercy on us, Father. Your grace abounds to those who cry out. I cry out, Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, my Savior. Rescue me from this. Rescue each of us, Father, to see and understand that we no longer want to be in the natural, but we want to be in the Spirit. The natural causes us to so often, even in our Christian understanding of your word, to be robbed of the better and greater stuff. Thank you, Jesus. It causes me to think about Mary and Martha as they sit and they're preparing, and Jesus, and Martha comes in and she says, Master, don't you care that I'm having to do all this by myself? What is this that she was referring to? Making ready the meal, getting the thing ready together and everything. It's all, don't you care that in the natural, I'm having to take care of these natural things? And she asked the Lord to get Mary to help her. Now notice in the story, and I'm not precisely because I'm not reading it right now, but notice, Jesus never really rebuked Martha, but what he did say, oh, but Mary has chose the better. I really have come to believe that this time in my understanding of this parable, this experience, and this story in the scripture that Christ has so graciously kept for our teaching and edification, that Mary at that moment was being led by the Spirit, while Martha was being controlled by the flesh. Or she was responding to the flesh. Which was good to serve. So I think we do that too. Most of the time though, I think really when we're controlled by the flesh, it does lead to sin. So it's really an enemy. Like I've heard one individual say, this body is just a beast. We've got to get this beast under control. Martha was struggling with this at the time. But Mary was in spirit. Let's learn we must worship in spirit and truth. To be able to be sensed by the eternal perspective, to be able to see all events from the eyes of the Lord, which is an eternal God who was and who is and who is to come, who has no beginning and no end, the great Elohim that created all things by merely speaking His voice, but also who cries out to each of us, oh, thank you, Jesus, is our Father in heaven, Abba, Daddy, and He died for us. So He touches our hearts and He cries out, follow me, be led by the Spirit I've given you. And experience eternity now. And put the flesh to death. five senses that so often intrude. There's so much more. God Almighty, thank you for your word. Now I submit myself by my will, not by my five senses, my emotions, but by my will I submit myself to you to truly be a servant led by the Spirit of the living God who has given us all that's necessary for godliness and life. By the way, the life, Father, I understand, is for the now. It is for this light and momentary shell of mortality that we have, anticipating the immortality that will come. So may I be balanced in it, Father, not to sin. But if I do, you're faithful and just, you said, to forgive me. And so, Father, I know I'm forgiven for my weaknesses today. And I thank you, my God. I thank you. With open arms and lifted hands, I thank you. Oh, Holy One, the great Elohim, take me now as my Father. Cradle me, teach me, disciple me. Oh, Christ Jesus as my High Priest. That we might experience the freedom and the liberty in Christ that is truly given to each of us. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. For you're worthy of honor, glory, and power. For you have created all things, and all things you have created for thy pleasure. And so when we say yes in the fear of God, in our salvation, you will will into us and act according to your good pleasure to further the kingdom of God in preparation for your great and mighty return and the resurrecting of the bodies to immortality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Day and night may I meditate on you. Hallelujah, Father. That I'll be careful to be obedient to the instruction to love you and to love man and to love myself. To be a reflection of the Christ in me. Hallelujah to the Lamb who can open the seals. You're worthy as the day grows nigh. This I ask and pray and acknowledge in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who sits at your right hand because of his righteousness, which has now been given to me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Hello, this is Billy Reagan again. After that, I don't know where you stand, but I know that I stand in victory. Though I may have stumbled, all praise be to God, I have victory and I have been forgiven. But there may be some of you there that have heard this message, have heard this teaching, have heard this experience of mine, that have asked the question, do I know Jesus? Is Jesus my Savior to rescue me out of these circumstances? Thanks be to Jesus, Paul said. If you decide or feel like that you've never really made this a confident decision, I urge you now in the name of Jesus, who is our Savior, who is the only way to the Father, and the only way that we can receive a cleansing and a forgiveness. I urge you to consider him today. For Jesus said in Romans that the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. And that is that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it begins with you first recognizing that all have sinned. In John 3:18 it says that those who do not believe are condemned already. There's no chance for you unless you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who said himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him. And what this requires is simply for you to confess and agree with God that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the anointed one sent from God, who suffered and died for our sins. And if you accept Him, He said He'll save you. To believe in Him. So it's a simple process, but it's a heart process. It's not just a head acknowledgement, but it's saying, I can't. But You always said You would, Lord. Save me in the name of Jesus. And He will. And once you do that, you have been given the Spirit of the living God to seal you, to show you that you are His. Because the blood of Jesus has washed you and cleansed you, sanctified you, and set you apart. What a blessed thing this is for those who have believed. And today in my struggle that you've just listened to, I know that I know, because of His substitute and because of His faithfulness to forgive me of my sins, He has done so. And by the Holy Spirit, He continues to guide and teach and empower me to be even better the next go around, so that as I practice what the Word has said, I can walk more and more holy each day, because He says He's given us everything necessary for godliness through Jesus Christ. And if you have been in the church for years and years and you've never been able to overcome or see those extraordinary benefits of victory in your life, might you consider also that Jesus has not yet been made Lord in your life? For He is faithful and long-suffering. Choose Him today. Confess with your mouth. Believe with your heart. And know that you can repent. He'll empower you. And He will work with you for the days ahead to be more like Him. So that the world will see and know that Jesus is your Lord. Bless you today. Bless you. And may that decision be life-changing for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that you have made this decision for Jesus Christ, there remains one thing to do. You have received the inward righteousness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and are justified. In other words, God has imputed to you this righteousness of Christ Himself, because of your faith and by your confession of Him. But now, I urge you to be baptized. This baptism, the full immersion into the water and out of the water, becomes evidence of your decision that you've made, but also in a way it is a fulfillment or a completion of all righteousness. It's an outward act of obedience. Even Jesus had to be baptized. And notice what Jesus said in, I think it's Matthew 3:15. He said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." He's making reference to the baptism. He's showing how important it is to be obedient to this. Jesus had not sinned, so it was not to wash the sin away, but it was to fulfill the righteousness. So likewise, we do the same. This outward show of obedience through baptism. Now keep in mind, baptism is a complete immersion. Underwater, coming out, is representative of the death, burial, and resurrection. I urge you, find a church that believes in full immersion and be baptized to the glory and the testimony of Jesus Christ in the faith that you have stepped into. Christian baptism, an outward act of obedience that causes you to fulfill or to complete the inward righteousness that God has already given you and you enjoy in your heart through faith in Christ. Because He died and was resurrected. And besides, Jesus just said, go, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do this in obedience to make this complete as it's shown in the Scripture. Bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.